This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I want to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 543, I'm welcoming to the show Kathy Cunningham.
We try to control it all, right? Especially as moms. Well, the basis of control often is fear. And I think fear is the biggest driver, and I get that. I've been there. We're afraid they're going to fail. We're afraid they're going to get hurt. We're afraid they're going to make bad decisions. And the reality is many of those things can happen, but we really cannot control it as much as we think we can. And the more we try, the more we actually push them away and often push them a little bit into those situations. So when we can pull back, and we can do more listening and hearing. And this is the biggest thing that we want to create. We want to create safety.
Kathy is a Christian counselor, ordained minister, coach, and inner healing ministry leader. And not only is she going to guide us today, she's going to share personally her journey of healing, transformation, and restored connection with her adult children. We're going to talk about what do you do when your children are walking through addiction in their teen and young adult years. What about the ever-growing situation of parent and child estrangement that so many are walking through that she sees in her counseling practice? And why our own healing journey is the key to restoring connection. If you are looking for help with your adult children, I'm just thrilled that I get to connect you with Kathy. She's such a kind voice in this area. She has a lot of free resources on her website, so make sure you check our show notes. She also has an ebook and a free ebook and a great supportive membership program that you can join if you are wanting that restoration in your own life and that process to begin. Definitely go check those links out in the show notes. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Kathy, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you, Heather. I am so glad to be here. This is an important topic.
It is, and it is one I have not covered because I tell them all the time I'm a very selfish podcaster, and until I hit a stage, I don't think about having episodes on it. So I now officially have an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old, and I'm heading into this season. I have older nieces and nephews. I'm watching it from afar, and I just am in enough conversations with moms that it feels like in parenting, your first kids are your guinea pig kids and you're learning how to do this. And we just had a guest on and he talks about how you need to change your parenting style. And I feel like you change when they're going into middle school, high school, but I feel like there's another shift that happens when they become adults and we need guidance. So you're here for that today, but I want people to get to know you and why you're qualified to be doing this. So tell us a little bit about your background, how you even got started helping parents with adult children.
Yeah. Well, my background is I'm a Christian counselor and a biblical counselor, also a coach. I also am an ordained minister. So I've been in ministry most of my life. I've had a private practice for probably about 15 years. And to be honest with you, this was not my main theme. My main theme up until probably about 6 months ago was really inner healing. But the reason that was my main theme was
I'm a big fan. We didn't talk about this, but I'm a big fan. Yes.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And that basically I had a process that I took my clients through, the 6-week, 8-week process of inner healing, generational patterns, our belief systems, you know, what we believe based on experience, resentment, letting go of that. and then even grief. So that was all part of what I was doing for years. But the reason I was doing that is because of my own story with my adult children, because I went through a very, very difficult time in different ways with each one of them. I have a daughter and a son, and we have a great relationship today, but I do credit much of that to the fact that God showed me at some point, and we'll get into this later, I needed to work on me. You know, I'm trying to change them. I'm trying to correct them. I'm trying to control them. And I had at some point, a little later than I would have liked, God kind of said, I think you are the one that needs to work on you. Not think. He said, you are the one.
So I'm pretty confident. You're the one.
You're the one.
Yeah.
And so I started my own healing journey, and the things that I found were so good for me and healed so much of my wounds and past, and really helped me to be the person I needed to be to have a good relationship with my adult children, is what I developed into my inner healing process as a counselor and coach. So how did I get into this topic? I noticed in the last 5 years, and we talked about this just a bit before we even got on, that there's been a shift in our culture of a lot of strain, even estrangement with adult children and parents like I have never seen before. And I think it probably was longer, but I noticed it about 5 years ago, and I noticed it with my clients. And my clients are mainly the adult children. So I'm hearing their perspective. I also, like I said, struggled in my relationship with my adult children. So there was a personal part, but there was a professional part also. Mm-hmm. And I started slowly kind of delving into this probably the end of last year, a little bit more posts on Instagram about this subject. And then in January, I did a 21-day prayer and fasting thing I do at the beginning of every year, and felt just this nudge. Very, very clear nudge from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, that kind of was telling me, this is your new direction. And this is how I'm almost 100% sure that it was Him. I changed the way I was posting on Instagram. And I had about 8,000 followers at that time. Within 2 weeks after I kind of got that assignment, and I shifted just a bit, I went from like 8,000 to 50,000 followers. And if you're on social media at all, that just doesn't happen. And I always say this with a lot of not false humility, just reality. I'm not that smart to figure that out. I wasn't seeing an Instagram coach. I wasn't.
You hadn't hired a manager. No. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I mean, it says a couple things. One, your obedience and your attunement to the Spirit to follow that direction. And two, the need.
Yes.
Was there.
Yes, absolutely.
And which is what you were noticing. I think mm-hmm. it really does help. I've interviewed other counselors when they can anecdotally be like, I'm seeing this over and over again. Like,
yeah.
When anxiety was a thing with kids, it's like, I'm seeing this. So maybe we need that is really interesting. And yeah, that's how I found you, was I saw a few Instagram post and I'm like, this is so good. We need a talk for yes. sure.
Yeah.
So how long ago was it your own inner healing and working with your kids?
So I would like to say it was like 30 years ago, but it wasn't. It was like 10 years ago. Okay. So about 10 years ago, and you know, I didn't even know I needed it, honestly. So I went for many, many years, and that's why I always tell parents, it's never too late. I hear this from a lot, you know, well, I've missed it. They're already adults. Well, if you missed it, then I missed it, and we're doing pretty good right now. So you got this. If you've already raised your kids, because I was 10 years ago, they were both, you know, adults. Now, my son was struggling with addiction, and so I had that situation going on. He'd been struggling with addiction for about 15 years. My daughter, it was just strain in our relationship, and something had come up about, it was probably a little over 10 years ago. I thought we were in a good place, honestly, and then this thing came up that suddenly I found out we weren't. It was just me thinking we were okay. She was struggling with some things that had happened in childhood that I had no idea that she was struggling with, and so we had to work through that. And I always tell people, I would love to tell you when she came to me and told me these things, I was empathetic, I was kind, but I was not. I was defensive. I was angry. I did all the wrong things. So if you had told me 10 years ago I'd be sitting here having this conversation, giving other people advice on their adult children, I would have laughed because it was a mess. It was chaotic. And within 10 years of me shifting and really starting to work more on myself than anything else, we're in a great place. My son's 9 years sober. My daughter and I have an amazing relationship. Yes, thank you.
That needs a clap. That's a big
yes,
deal.
Yes, it does. And he's an incredible person. We often do things together. He helps so many people now on the other side. So,
man, I could almost cry. Like, that just gives so much hope to so many parents. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And that is my goal. That is what I want to do because I know what it's like to feel like it's never going to change. It's never going to get better. And it does, and it can. But there are things we have to do.
Yeah. I mean, the tears in my eyes are, I've had enough conversations with moms who really are, they truly feel like this will never change.
Yes. Yeah.
My child will always struggle and not knowing their part. So, okay, we got to get them some even more. So we got hope going.
Yes.
Let's keep going. And I think, like I mentioned, these transitions that require us to shift what's worked before.
Yeah.
What, as you look back on that transition into adulthood, what most surprised you, or like maybe you didn't do it right when you were going through it, but if you could coach someone now who's in that transition, like me, what should I be paying attention to? You know,
well, I think the biggest surprise and the thing, of course, we didn't know. We're just starting to delve into this topic a little bit. So there wasn't any information back then. But I don't think we understand how much we have to shift in the way we relate to our children as they become adults. You know, our position changes and we don't realize it. So we keep doing what we did, right? And that does not give us good results most of the time.
Like when we're saying adult, I'm thinking, okay, I have an 18 and a 20 year old, but they're both on our payroll still. I mean, they have jobs and they pay for a lot of stuff, but it's kind of, I've heard parents say that, well, as long as they're on my payroll, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And so, have you even teased that out with either your clients who are the adult kids or parents? Like,
And it is different. And I want to make that very clear. It's different when they're just, they call me merging adults. You know, they're many adults. They're not on their own 100% independent. But it's during those years you want to start practicing these concepts because what we do in our culture now, and I think it's just because maybe the way we were raised, but this grouping of parents, and that can be anywhere from like, you know, your 40s up until, you know, way past, you know, we have adult children, but all different seasons and stages. So when they're younger, we want to begin to implement more independence, you know, not getting so involved, let them make their own decisions, but we're still there. We still have input because they're in our home. And we're going to probably talk about that a little bit later. It's our home. We have a right to have certain agreements. I like to say agreements instead of rules within the home of what that's going to look like. But we want to be teaching them and helping them gain more and more independence, even probably starting about 16, 15 or 16 in certain areas financially. Let them fail. Not for risky behavior. I'm not talking about that. But we are way over-involved as parents in our culture. It's just the way we've all been and we've kind of all done that. But it has not served our adult children well because they're very, you know, we statistically, I think there's 60% of adult children, and we're talking into their late 30s, are still financially dependent on their parents. That would have been unheard of in, you know, my generation. And I know they were probably too much of that, you know, so I think we've swung the pendulum way over to the other side. So that would be one of my biggest advices for someone that still has them at home. Treat them as though they are adults, but you're there when they really need that help. So, you know, it's kind of like this balancing act that you are creating. Let them make their own choices. Have hard conversations. Don't try to control everything around their lives, because they won't be ready whenever they do launch out and go into their own independence outside your home. And it's hard. I'm not saying this is easy. It is not. There's a great book I want to recommend for that age group, particularly by Jim Burns. It's called Doing Life with Your Adult Children. He says, keep the welcome mat out and keep your mouth shut. But it's a great book because it really talks mainly about that age group that still may be at home and just starting to launch into adulthood.
This episode is sponsored by Go Pure. Okay, moms, if you are a parent of adult children, you may need to listen up. Because you are probably like me and just noticing that the skin on your neck is not getting the attention it deserves. You've spent money on creams for your face and facials, but have you neglected your neck? I know I have, and it shows, okay? But that doesn't mean it's too late. Go Pure Beauty's Tighten and Lift Neck Cream is designed to be the hero of your skin routine. It has a powerful formula with clinically proven ingredients that visibly firm, smooth, and rejuvenate the skin on your neck and chest in as little as 4 to 8 weeks. I just love having a product that I can use and I know is going to help the skin that I have been ignoring for so long, because that skin is thinner, it's more delicate, it's less oily, and so it's more vulnerable, especially as it gets cooler, which I love the cooler temperatures, and a little drier. Go Pure's firming complex gives this area the specialized care it needs to nourish, strengthen, and restore a more youthful look so you can feel confident. All Go Pure products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, so you know you're giving your skin clean, effective care without the harsh chemicals or compromises. With over 1 million jars sold, this beauty secret is no longer a secret. So for a limited time, our listeners get 25% off Go Pure with code DMA at checkout. Just head to gopure.com, use the code DMA, and you are all set. And after you buy, do us a favor. When they ask where you heard about Go Pure, tell them it was from our show. So what is our role? Like, what do we do? So it's like we don't know what not to do, keep right. Our mouth shut, like don't control, but how does our role change and how can we kind of own that and double down on that? Because you and I were talking, we can only control ourselves. Like,
right.
And while that we can know that in the moment, it's so tempting to want to quote unquote help them.
Yeah. I think the great thing, anybody listening to this podcast and you, Heather, you know, there's an awareness there. There was an awareness I did not have, and many people do not have. So the first key is awareness. And then with that awareness, we begin to look at things and say, okay, what can I do to have the best result in this situation? And the first thing I feel like is the most important, we got to look within ourselves and say, am I healthy? Am I able to have a hard conversation? Am I able to release and let my adult child, even if they're at home, make certain decisions that I don't have to get involved in? Am I always giving advice? Am I managing their life? Because the goal is to go from manager and control to cheerleader and influencer. Now, are you still going to be a parent? Of course you're going to be a parent. You're always going to be a parent, but it's going to shift. And get ready, because it's going to shift often. It's not like one shift. There's the initial shift, but then there's going to be more. They're going to get married one day. They're going to have kids one day. They're going to go to college. All those are shifts that we have to keep kind of evolving as the parent and how we relate to our adult child. So I think that's going to be your first one, is to really be asking yourself, am I doing too much? Am I in any way enabling them in a way that's keeping them from growing into an adult?
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sidetracking. Okay. What are some of the like beliefs or what you've seen and maybe worked through with parents that cause us to overly involve ourselves or to overly help or, yeah, you know, not do that move kind of back to cheerleader and supporter.
I think the biggest, I mean, when you think about what is the basis of control, so we try to control it all, right? Especially as moms. Well, the basis of control often is fear. And I think fear is the biggest driver. And I get that. I've been there. We're afraid they're going to fail. We're afraid they're going to get hurt. We're afraid they're going to make bad decisions. And the reality is, many of those things can happen, but we really cannot control it as much as we think we can. And the more we try, the more we actually push them away and often push them a little bit into those situations. So when we can pull back and we can do more listening and hearing, and this is the biggest thing that we want to create. We want to create safety. We want to create a safe environment that they can come and pretty much say anything with respect to us, and we can keep our emotions, at least on the outside, under control to where they feel they can bring these things to us. They can have a discussion with us. We're not going to overreact. We're not going to try to fix it. We're not going to get upset. And that's hard, you know, because again, and we live in a very scary world, right? Yeah. So I think that feeds, it's that fear. And of course, from a spiritual perspective, that is exactly what the enemy wants to feed into us, all these fears. So that's where our relationship, our trust in God is going to come in. I think my relationship with God grew so much more when my kids became adults than ever when they were younger.
Do you feel it? I mean, I know we feel it like in the stage of high schoolers and college where it's like, where are they going to college? Is it that whole this idolization of family and what your kids are doing with their life, that yes, there's the fear that they could really get hurt or they could really go off the path and it could be bad. But there's also like this pride, or I don't even know what the word is, of like, what are other people going to think if you go this path? Have you had to struggle through that with adult kids? You mentioned your son with his struggle with addiction. Like,
absolutely.
How did you manage that? Because that to me could make me want to control. It's like, my reputation is on the line.
Yeah. And I think that that's so good that you brought that up, because I think that is one of the biggest things that we struggle with. And of course, you know, having a son that's struggling with addiction, I mean, we tried to kind of keep it secret for a long time. I didn't. And you know, I do want to say this. If you have a situation with one of your adult children, everybody doesn't need to know. You know, you need to invite people in that are going to be helpful, not hurtful to the situation. And it's their story also. So you want to be careful how much you're sharing, but you got to have support. And I didn't even tell my closest prayer partners, because I had like a little group of women that I met with, and I didn't tell them for 6 months because I was so ashamed. Yeah. And I think as Christians, often we do this worse than anyone, because we do want to keep that image. We do feel somewhat of a pressure to have a certain way that our life is going. And I certainly did. And so I just am hopeful that as we have these conversations, we can get rid of some of that taboo stuff, that shame that seems to permeate us as Christian parents, that it's always our fault or it's a reflection on us when our children, you know, make choices that aren't good, because it isn't our fault. It isn't what we did or didn't do. I mean, with rare cases, there might be, but most of the time it's not. Mm-hmm. That's a biggie. And we've just got to let go of that. But I think that starts with finding and having some true trusted friends that we can start with.
Well, and I'm already brainstorming for you, like an online community might be nice, of strangers that, you know, it's like, when you're walking through something, other people who understand.
Yes. Oh, that is so key. That is vital. I just want to put a plug in real quick for a group that I facilitate called PAL, Parents of Addicted Loved Ones. There, and you can look them up online, palgroup.org. And that's exactly what people need, is a place to go where people are on that same journey. They get it. And they have that, they have groups like that for various situations. But even my friends, as wonderful as they were, they didn't understand. They were there, they prayed for me, but they didn't understand that exact situation I was walking through. So to have a space that people got it. I could say kind of crazy things and like, yeah, that happened to me too.
Because
that,
it's
that
like,
makes all the difference.
Yeah. We can say this thing of, you know, how to support and, you know, be cheerleader. But I know that in that unique situation, the rules shift a little bit.
Absolutely.
You can't, you gotta, it's a very, you can find yourself in situations where you're wanting, I don't know, it's just a little trickier. So some of what we're going to talk about may not apply in that situation. Yeah.
Well, and the reality is this, as crazy as it might sound, you still are the cheerleader in an addiction situation. Because you want them to know you believe in them. You want them to know, I believe you can conquer this. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraging you. I'm loving you through this with boundaries, of course.
With boundaries, because that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's this trick of not enabling.
It is,
So yeah, how do we do that balance of letting go of control, but still being present and supportive?
Yeah, I know.
Like how do we do this practically? Because it sounds good on paper.
Yeah, I think it, you know, and it's, there's so many different situations we're talking about here, right? So depending on the situation, I think with us as parents, we have to figure out, and every adult child, even in the best of situations, there should be some sort of boundaries. You know, we're living separate lives as adults, and so we want to have those in place. So we need to know what those are. We need to be okay with them. I hate to even use that word because people hate that word so much and I get so much bad feedback. So maybe we could just call it limits. Yeah. Maybe we can call
it what's an example of a limit?
Agreements, you know, things like that. Well, you know, it'd be like if they're living in your home, I would be like, if they're living with you still, what are the chores as all the people living in this home? What are our responsibilities? Those are boundaries. Those are limits. Those are agreements. Or financial help. That's a big one we talked about already, you know, with adult children. When do I help? When is it too much? When should I not help? When can I not? Because I don't have the finances to do that. Respect. That's a huge one. And that goes both ways. Mutual respect as adults is so important. So I think those are some of the examples of boundaries. So we have that in place. And then again, depending on the season they're in, that ability to support. So what does support mean without control? It means your presence is there. You're available to talk to, but, you know, as asked, or even if they're sharing with you, you ask them, would you like some feedback on that? Or do you just need to talk about it? You know, so you're there as a supportive, steady presence. And that's why it's so important that we're healthy, because then we're not overreacting and we're getting involved in things we shouldn't be getting involved in. We know what that looks like. You know, I think when we're healthy people, and we've worked on our stuff, we kind of inherently know what support looks like versus, you know, enabling or fixing.
Yeah. And recognize our own. I mean, I'll give a tiny example. I'm in the college application season.
Okay.
One of mine. And he's got a slam dunk resume to get in a lot of different places. Like that part's not stressful in this situation, but like the hitting the deadlines is stressing me out.
Yeah.
And him not being motivated to do his part. And I feel like I keep doing the reminding until he finally set a boundary with me. He's like, how about I just own it?
Okay.
I'll turn it in time. And I'm like, okay, great. But at the same time, it's like I have to reckon with my own fears.
Absolutely. Like,
and recognize what my part is and his part is. And if he's willing to own it and have the consequence of, it feels like a big consequence to not get into college, but you know.
Yeah. And I always tell parents, this is the hard thing of being a parent, opposed to setting boundaries with or limits, you know, with another person. We carry some of those consequences with us. So that's really hard when we know their consequences are going to be our consequences often.
Yeah, because if you wait too long and you get accepted later, then it's a residency situation.
Yeah.
It's a more costly place to live, and it is a financial it is a trickier thing. One thing to say, let them have their failures, but in that season when they're still.
Yeah. So that's where I think that wisdom comes in, even getting a little bit of wise counsel for someone that's been down that road. The one thing we want to be careful about, especially in that age group, is the more we do and the more we take over, the more we are telling them without saying it, I don't think you're capable. And we want them to feel capable. We want them to feel confident that they are able to do these things because that's going to serve them while moving forward.
So while we're talking about that, like how what we're communicating, let's talk about that. Let's talk about communication because it is so key in connection with them, especially when you're maybe not even in their presence as, presence as much. Let's say there's a lot of kids that live in other cities from their parents now. And so if you get a phone call or a FaceTime, I mean, I have all boys, so that's it's really rare.
Okay.
The communication is less than my friends who have girls are like, she FaceTimed me three times today. So I get that. But what is our part when we are in those conversations to like help a strong relationship develop?
I think much of what we talked about, more listening, more hearing. I always think reflective listening is a great thing to do. So they say something, you kind of repeat it back to them. Make sure you're hearing it correctly. Let them know I'm hearing you. Our tendency is to, before they're even done with their sentence, is to jump in and give them an answer or give them a solution. And that's what we don't want to do. We want it really to be very low pressure. And we want it to be consistent. So if we don't, if we have, you know, I have a son, I have a daughter, and sons, they're a little less communicative, you know, they get busy with their lives. And so if I don't hear from my son for a few days, I'll send him a text, you know, low pressure. Hey, just thinking of you. How you doing? You know, whatever, you know, without an expectation that I'm going to get this immediate reply. So very low pressure. And research shows that that really is part of a really healthy relationship between adult children and parents when they're not feeling this constant pressure, but still feeling connected. So it's kind of keeping that balance. And then I think the other thing that's really important, and we talked about this, is just that mutual respect. I am respecting you as an adult. So when they're telling us something, we're not kind of getting defensive or manipulative or shutting them down because we're not agreeing what they're saying. We're listening, we're hearing, and then if needed, giving some feedback depending on the age.
Yeah. Now I can think of, you know, let's take parents aside. We're just talking about adult relationships.
Yeah.
There are people that you're more willing to share things with because of their response.
Exactly.
If you're in a conversation and they're immediately jumping in with advice, you're like, I'm not going to share it with them because I'm going to feel dumb right off the bat. So,
And it's so good you brought that up because that's often what we tell our group. You want to get to the point to a certain extent that you're treating your adult child like your neighbor or a good friend. That's where the eventual goal is because just like you said, just the same result you get with friends, you're going to get with them. That's just kind of how we are as humans, that we want to feel like people respect us and they hear us and that we are seen.
This episode is sponsored by Policy Genius. Now, as our kids have grown up, whether they're teens or young adults, possibly you have overlooked protecting your financial future. You've been juggling career and kids and self-care in the home and all the things. And often, 72% of Americans overestimate the actual cost of life insurance. But I think that what we miss is how connected life insurance is to our financial wellness and just overall peace of mind. Policy Genius makes the finding and the buying of life insurance simple to ensure that your loved ones have the financial safety net they can use in case something happens to you. I love that on Policy Genius, you can compare quotes from top insurers. You can find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. See if Policy Genius can help you find a 20-year life insurance policy starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. You can even talk to a team of licensed agents who will walk you through the process step by step. Policy Genius will answer your questions, handle the paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process. They lay out all of your options so clearly. The coverage amount, the prices, the terms, there's no guesswork, just clarity. And you can trust them. Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best policy fit for their needs. Head to policygenius.com to compare life insurance quotes and get the coverage you need because being financially protected, that's the ultimate self-care. Again, that's policygenius.com. This episode is sponsored by Hiya Health. Now, I don't know about you, but when my kids were young, I was looking for the perfect multivitamin, and often all I could find were a bunch of gummies with a lot of sugar that they may have thought were a treat, but I did not think they were very helpful. And I love that now there are so many options, and one of my favorites is Hiya. What they've done is created a super-powered, chewable vitamin. It has no sugar, no gummies, but it is filled with the nutrition your kids need. It's formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutritional experts. It's pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, vitamin B12, I take both of those myself, C, zinc, folate, and so many others to support your child's immune system as we head into cold and flu season, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and so much more. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, everything you can imagine. And it is designed for kids 2 and up. It's sent straight to your door, so you have one less thing to worry about. I love the little glass bottle that they send when you start your order, and they can each personalize it with little stickers. They can decorate the bottle maybe with their name on it or their favorite things, and then Hiya will send you refills for that little glass bottle. Now, if you're tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens, Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods. It's a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids. It's packed with 55 plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. You just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. The same multivitamin that more than a million parents trust is now available with an enchanting Disney Princess Welcome Kit with a new princess unboxing experience, including a princess bottle and stickers. Now, we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go through hiyahealth.com/DMA. This deal is not available on their regular website, so go to hiyahealth.com/DMA. Get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. So we kind of mentioned it earlier, and I kind of want to talk about it now because it's such a big topic, and the estrangement piece, because I think that boundaries word is so triggering for people because it may have been used by a child to a parent.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe with you. I'm setting a boundary. And that equals, in their mind, cutting off all communication. So right now we're talking about, like, how do we communicate and listen well? Well, speak to the parent who has been cut off. Received, or maybe it wasn't them, maybe it was their spouse was cut off. Like, how do they navigate that, and what can they do on their side of that?
That's the pain of that is
tremendous. So
that is such really a hard situation. Yeah. And we're not minimizing. I'm not saying there's easy answers to this, because there is not. I think one of the first things I would advise someone to do is get into some sort of support group of people, and try to get, if possible, a hopeful one. You know, there's different support groups, and you want to get in one that gives you hope.
How would they find that?
I can send you a couple links. Okay. You know, preferably maybe a Christian one where people are really, you know, giving you hope through faith, because I think that's so important. But I want to acknowledge that this is a huge trend phenomena in our time right now, more than ever before. And I do think it has a lot to do with our culture. It has to do with social media. The verbiage has changed around things. What used to be, you know, you're growing up and, you know, your parent yelled at you, now it's abuse, you know, or, I mean, all those words are being used now against parents. Now, are there cases that this is necessary? Yes, there is, but they're rare. They're the exception. And it's become so much bigger than that. And so what do parents do? And this is the hard part, because if you look at my social media account, you get some of my comments, people don't like, some of the things I say, because it's always back to them. But I get that. I get when they say, what about them? Why am I having to do all the work? Well, the reason you're having to do all the work, because hopefully you're the healthiest person in the room and because you want it. And so it's going to take you being the first person to do the work within yourself in the waiting. And if you have no contact, there's really nothing you can do except for work on yourself and pray and believe God is going to bring that reconciliation. And I always bring the story of the prodigal son in the Bible. The father did not go running after and keep trying to get contact and keep trying to find the son. He stayed back. My guess is he worked on himself because he was very calm when the prodigal son came back. He welcomed him with open arms, and that's a healthy person. He wasn't saying, how could you do this to me? You know, I'm still angry and upset. He was ready for that prodigal to come back. And I'm sure at some point they had some discussions, but at the very beginning, it was just welcoming him back, listening, and restoring that relationship. And so I think that's a great example of what we have to do. So in the waiting, it is releasing because you don't really have another choice and doing some deep work within yourself. So when they come back, you are ready to have a good relationship and to be able to hear some of what they might be ready to tell you and navigate through that.
One thing that's been in my brain lately, and maybe I shouldn't be bringing it up here, but I don't know, it's my show.
Yeah.
is this phenomenon I've been watching since 2016. And I feel like it was when our current president was elected the first time.
Mm.
And people were, quote unquote, deconstructing their faith.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has led to this split in true Christ followers. I feel like both of these groups are true Christ followers. They both have faith in Jesus. But one group, and neither of these people like the titles they've been given, but one group is given the title of progressive Christian and another group is given the title of Christian nationalist. And I feel like I'm watching a lot of parent-child groupings where it's the parents that are in the Christian nationalist group and the kids that are in the progressive. And it's beyond like you treated me bad when I was young or like you maybe spanked me or used harsh quote unquote discipline. It's now even like we don't see eye to eye on how to treat humans or like these bigger issues of not even just politics, but like policies, like how people are guided. And so I can't be in relationship with you because it's so hurtful.
Yeah.
You find that to be true?
Yes. I have clients whose adult children are not speaking to them because of who they voted for.
Yeah.
And because of certain ways they believe that the Bible, you know, says that things are, certain truths that they stand on. And we can't do anything about what the other person does. I mean, we always kind of have to get that acceptance. There's a thing called radical acceptance. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. It's kind of a counseling term. And it's just really a mindset that says, I don't agree with this. I don't like it, but it is reality. So I have to accept that this is where we are right now. And the more I fight against it and think I can change it, the more destructive it's going to be to me personally and to the other person. So we get in this mindset of radical acceptance around what is going on in our life. And I think when we can do that, we accept the fact this is where they are. And I have to decide what I'm going to do with that. Now, if they choose because you voted for someone, they're not going to speak to you. All you can do, I always tell parents, just try to stay in contact and say, hey, I love you. If you want to have a conversation, I'd love to. That's going to be on them to figure out when they're ready for that conversation. But if you're still in relationship and this is a tension, I would hope, and I've done this in my family, that you can sit down and have a conversation and hear each other, even if you disagree. That's the goal. And still walk away knowing we're family, we love each other, we carry many of the same values. We just have some disagreement points in this. I think as parents, though, because of the way we've been raised sometimes in the different churches we've been at, we feel we have to take this strong stand and convince people and make people think like we do. And that's probably not going to work. Now, I'm not saying that you compromise your values at all. you stand for what you believe, but you also have to accept as adults, they can believe what they want to believe and they can. And we want to respect, that's mutual respect. So to have a conversation, and I've done this, I have a daughter-in-law that does not have the same belief systems as we do. And my son doesn't go to church. He embraces God, but because of some of the things that happen in his life, he does not, you know, go to church, but he has a great relationship with God. So we've sat, my daughter, my son-in-law, who is probably more on the conservative. I think me and my husband, we're like in the middle. It's kind of funny. And so we all can sit around and talk about these things and have a great conversation with respect. And that is the goal.
And that's the challenge.
That's the challenge too. Yes. But it can be done.
Yeah. But I think in general, like everyone's saying that, like, can we have conversations, civil conversations where we don't agree with each other?
Yeah.
Or do we need to villainize the other side?
And we don't. And I just want to say, Heather, I am like the most opinionated. I'm a type A person. So I kind of tell people, if I can do this and I can stay calm, anybody can.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what about the mom? I'm going to go back to communication.
Okay.
What about the mom who wants more connection?
Yeah.
Like she can tell it's not there. But she can't, it's like, you can't control it.
Yeah.
What are some practical tips for her? Because if it's not even there, how does she get it going?
Yeah. And you may or may not be able to. But what you can do, again, my kind of mantra in life is stack things in your favor. So the first thing is maybe ask yourself why. Is there anything that maybe I need to look in the way that I'm doing things that could be pushing them away? And we have to be honest with ourselves, because when I kind of went through this struggle, especially with my daughter, I was so taken back. I got very defensive. I put all the walls up. And then I had to start doing some self-evaluation. I had to start saying, what part of this? Now, it wasn't in my mind. It wasn't all true. You know, she'd probably, we've done interviews together and she'd say, well, that's how I saw it, Mom, you know, and that's fine, you know, but that wasn't how I felt. But I did have to look and say, but there's a kernel of truth in what she's saying, and I need to figure out what that part is in me. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if you can, sit down and have a conversation and say, I've noticed there's just seems to be a little bit of distance. Is there anything you can tell me that I can work on? Is there anything that we can work on together to have a stronger relationship? Now, don't do that if you're not ready to hear the answer. You might have a little more work you need to do on yourself first before you have that conversation. And then if all else fails, you just keep doing the next right thing. We can only keep our side of the sidewalk cleaned up. And we keep that going. And at some point, we keep praying and God's doing the work in their heart. And many times, that's where we have to leave it for a while.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is hard.
And like you said, you can feel very connected and they don't. And that's still really important feedback. I've unfortunately gotten in my mom journey, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
What would you say, like, I think a hard part of this season, if a lot of moms have found identity in mothering, is you feel kind of not necessary, unneeded, invisible.
Yeah.
It's that transition too. Like, I think that's part of the reason we want to be involved and we get overly in control, because it's like, no, this is who I am. It's a big shift in that way, like identity-wise. So what would you say to that, Mom?
You know, I think it's so natural, because think about how many years we've been a mom, right? That's been our almost, for many people, our main role, even if we've had a job outside the home and things like that. That's just such a big part of who we are. And so there's a huge shift that happens when they become adults. And I think the first thing we have to do is, number one, acknowledge it, and acknowledge it for what it is. It's a loss. And we have to grieve that loss. And we have to kind of get ourselves prepared that it's going to keep shifting. Like I said, it's not a one-time shift. It's going to be different times that this is going to happen over and over again. But we also have to find ourselves, because we get wrapped up so much, I think, And, you know, and being a mom, and sometimes I think in our culture, it's been maybe a little too much that we need to pull back and begin to find out who we are. What do we enjoy? What about my other relationships? What about my marriage? What about my friendships? Sometimes we've actually not put in as much to those relationships as we should be putting into, and we have to kind of reignite those, reconnect in those areas, and then start finding out some things you love to do, new purpose for our lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a big one, and that's a great question, because that is truly one of the things I hear the most from moms. Like, I don't even know who I am anymore.
But that could be a big part of when you said do the healing on your side. It's recognizing, wow, I'm taking too much identity and worth from this relationship.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh my stars, Kathy. I want to talk to you forever. Okay. Is there any last piece of wisdom you have for moms? And then we're going to tell them how to connect with you. Like, there's something you knew you were coming on the show and you wanted to make sure you told them.
A couple things. I want to tell them that don't let the enemy get in your head and tell you that you're a failure or you're a bad mom, because those are just lies. You're an amazing mom. You were created to be the mom for these children, whether they're children or they're adults. You are still a very important person, a very important influence, and always will be in their life. I also want to say to a mom that has a child that's struggling, adult child that's struggling, don't give up hope. Keep praying. Keep believing. I had one of the most hopeless situations that I think a person could have. Really feeling that we're going to have a very bad ending to all this. It was very bad. And just kept standing on God's word. And I know it doesn't always turn out like this, but my thought is, as long as they're here, and I would say that too, as long as my son's here, I'm going to keep believing that things can change. And I had a prayer routine I did, and it did. It was like suddenly. And it was when it got the worst that it suddenly changed to become the best. And I love the verse, Genesis 50:20. What was meant to harm me, God turned for good. But not just for myself, to put me in a position to help many other people. Mm-hmm. And I so believe that that is so often what God does with these hard situations in our life. So never, ever give up hope.
I love it. So good. So, so good. All right. I know we're going to put all the links in the show notes, but I just want you to tell people what's available that you offer, because it's a lot of so much goodness. So like, what kinds of things would they find on your website?
Okay. So my website is kathycunningham.org, and I have some courses on there. As I said, my beginning of what I was doing is an inner healing journey. And I actually have that course on my website. It's called Uncovered Grace. And it's a 6-week inner healing journey that is self-led, but I'm very available through email if they're taking the course to ask me questions. And then I also have a membership for parents of adult children, and it's called Grace Restored Membership. It's a monthly membership cost. And I have about 15 different videos and courses in there. We have a live community that we connect. I do a monthly support group and a live teaching every month. So those are a couple options of things that people can look at. And if nothing else, look at my Instagram page every day. I put something on there for people that can't maybe afford something. I always want to put free things out there so that they have something every day to give them encouragement.
Well, and I'll tell y'all, there is a PDF page with like so much amazing stuff. 7 Keys to Waiting Well.
Yes, there's a lot of free resources on the site too. Thank you.
Things not to say to your son-in-law or daughter-in-law. Yeah. I'm going to be looking that one up. I don't have one yet, but maybe the more you overhelp, the more resentment grows. I mean, like so many great PDF free resources. So, because some of y'all are like, I can't afford whatever. And I'm like, Kathy is here to help. And the more support you need, she's available, but she's not going to force it on you because that's not what adults do.
That's
so
right.
She's just available. Kathy, it's been so great. I definitely need to have you come back, because I feel like we could go deep on a lot of the things we covered. But I really wanted people to know you're out there and connect with you if they're in that season. And I think you just provided so much hope. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Heather. This has been an honor. And I just hope it has brought some hope and encouragement to the parents out there.
A couple things I wanted to say before I get to praying. One, I know I said in this episode that there's kind of been this split between the progressive and more conservative strands of Christianity. I think that it's not always the kids that are leaning towards the more progressive side. It can be the parents, and then the kids are choosing the more conservative. I didn't say that in the interview, but I wanted to make sure y'all know that I know this goes both ways. Also, that I was at this spiritual retreat last weekend, and one of the women there was talking about grief and how she learned through her counselor that grief is like you're in the forest and there's all this overgrown, brittle old wood that is dead, that is kind of, it's grown out and it's covering up the sun's ability to get to the new growth underneath. And the only way through grief is to let that overgrown older wood burn. We kind of have to work through the grief to let the new growth happen. And the imagery God gave me was, so often some of our struggles with teens and young adults is we're still holding on to these precious memories we have when they were little and who they were when they were little. And I think one of my friends, he would say when he looks at pictures of his kids when they were younger, he was like, those kids don't exist anymore. This is a totally different person. And we kind of have to grieve our children's childhood and let that burn so that we can allow for new relationship to grow with them. Because if we keep holding them to that standard of who they used to be, we don't get the chance of getting to know who they are now. So that was something I was just thinking about, that I'm prone to, and my little digital frame will show me pictures, and I just can't, it just aches. It aches for the loss of that time. Why am I crying? Oh my goodness. Cause it's sad. It is a sad, that's why it's a grief. And so, and even if you're in a spot of estrangement and you are grieving the loss of relationship, I just pray that you can with God grieve that so that new things can grow, restoration can happen. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I pray whatever parent is listening to this and is so tender right now, Lord, whether they are walking with a child through addiction and it is all consuming of their mind and their heart, and they are so, so, so fearful of the path their child is on. I pray that you would be their centering truth and light and an anchor for their souls, that they can know you most, and that they can control what is within their realm, which is their belief in you, God. And I thank you for Kathy sharing her story, Lord, but for someone in the midst of the middle, that they would be comforted. God, I also pray over the tender emotions related to estrangement and how hard that can be to no longer have a relationship with the child that you have loved and cared for so many years. And I pray that you would help each person in that situation really turn to you and ask, Holy Spirit, can you reveal to me what's going on in my own heart and mind so that I can be fully aligned with you, God, and show up how you want me to show up in that relationship. Lord, I do pray for full restoration in families, that the enemy would no longer come in with division. I know there are legitimate reasons, Lord, for boundaries to happen between children and parents. But Lord, I also believe fully that there is a lot out there that the enemy is having a heyday and causing a lot of unnecessary division in families. And I pray that you would help us make sure we're spending time with you so we see people with your eyes and we show grace wherever we show up, to love first. And I pray, Lord, and for any situation I can't even think of right now, that we know you're there, we know you're not surprised, and we pray ultimately for full restoration and healing on this, on the earth, and for your kingdom to fully come. In Jesus' name, amen. I just think I personally have been so impacted by the concept of surrender and letting whatever kingdom I've tried to build in my boys to just burn off and to turn towards God's kingdom and whatever he's doing. And that may be watching my kids walk through really hard situations of their choosing or not, and allowing him to do the work in their lives for his kingdom to grow, for them to be in spaces and places to have conversations about Jesus that they may not be in if they were in this comfortable, perfect path that we are told is the way to go. So anyway, I hope this episode is encouraging. Please do check out the show notes and the links, and I'll meet you back here next week. Have a conversation with a gal I just kind of got to know. Her name's Erica Gwynn, and we're just talking about the work of our minds and how we can start believing things that are just not true. And so we're going to call out a couple of those that moms often believe and replace them with some good truth. So join me back here next week. Thank you all for sharing with any friends on social and tagging me. I love seeing it. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.